Today's reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Reading from New International Version. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them.
I'm also reading verses 4 to 6. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken.
Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that we hear them speaking in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some of them, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. It's a real joy to be with you at Christ the King Catering this morning. Thanks so much for the invitation. And this is an amazing day, the day of Pentecost, the day to celebrate and remember the outpouring of Holy Spirit, that gift from God of the third person of the Trinity. And we've just heard the reading from Acts chapter 2. What an amazing account. Can you imagine having been there in that upper room on that first day of Pentecost when the power of God moved and the very room in which they were meeting was shaken, and there was a sound like a tornado that came into the room, and then the place is shaken, it's filled with smoke, and then tongues of fire come down and rest upon everyone that's gathered there. 120 of them gathered in one place, all touched by the power of God, and the world has never been the same since. What an incredible day that must have been. And we know that it attracted attention. There were God-fearing Jews from all over the known world who heard these disciples proclaiming the wonders of God in their own language, and they were able to understand all about God from these now Spirit-filled believers who've been transformed by the power of God. Now, the tragedy is that these days there are many people who are lovely Christians who say, you know, all this Holy Spirit stuff, just not for me. And I want to say to those people, if that is you, you're not actually obeying Jesus. You can't pick and choose the bits of the Bible you feel comfortable with. Either he's the Lord of all or he's not the Lord at all. He's not some tame lion that you can keep in a cage. He is the Lion of Judah. And we cannot risk reducing God to that which we like or understand, or even that which we've got personal first-hand experience of. See, Jesus was very clear in the instructions he gave to those who would follow after him, his disciples that he was with, but also his disciples now, you and me. He said, Luke 9, "Go and proclaim the kingdom, heal the sick." I can't proclaim the kingdom or heal the sick without the power of Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, incredible verses where Jesus says, "You will do the things I have been doing, and you will do greater things than these when I send Holy Spirit." Greater things. That's an incredible thought. He said the same thing actually in John chapter 5, verse 20. He said, "The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, he will show him even greater works than these so that you will be amazed." That was by the pool of Bethesda. I'm already amazed by the things I've seen God doing, but Jesus said you will do even greater things. And the Greek word that's used in John 5 is mesona, and it gives the sense, the meaning of there is more. So Jesus is saying you're going to do greater things. There's always more. And there is always more with God. Just when you think that you are amazed by what God has done, what he's shown you, he goes and does something that is even greater. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 18, he talks to the disciples and he says to them, preach to all creation, drive out demons, speak in tongues, heal the sick. That is the final words he was speaking to his disciples. Acts chapter 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, that Paul was saying, I did not come with wise or persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And Pentecost is all about equipping the saints, that's you and me, equipping the saints to do the greater works that Jesus was referring to. Jesus said, you will do more. There is always more that God is wanting to do in you and through you. And Jesus said, you will do those greater things when Holy Spirit empowers you. And the word empowers means to put power into. So Jesus was saying to the disciples, to the 120 who waited in the upper room, wait until you are empowered. Wait until the Spirit of God puts power within you. And then you will be equipped. Then you will be enabled to proclaim the kingdom to those who have no comprehension of who Jesus is. You will be empowered to speak in a language that they understand. Maybe that means a new earthly language. And there are so many testimonies I could tell you of people who have been given languages that they did not learn, earthly languages. There's an incredible pastor called Pastor Suppressor. He now speaks 17 different earthly languages, none of which has he learnt. He has been given them supernaturally. Book of Acts stuff. God is still doing it. But also I believe that it means that you can speak a language that people understand. God will enable you by the power of Holy Spirit to communicate, in other words, to your family, to your friends, to your colleagues, to your neighbours, in a way that they are able to understand the good news of the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, though. I often make excuses and I think, oh, I can't do that. I'd love to do the things that Jesus talked about. I'd love to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. I'd love to proclaim the kingdom in dynamic and powerful ways. And we come up with so many different excuses. I've heard so many of them over the years in church leadership, and I've made many of them myself. People say, well, the disciples that we read about in the Gospels, they were there with Jesus in person. They were discipled better than we are. Yeah, we've got the most amazing vicar. Rob is fantastic. And I tell you what, he is an amazing church leader. And I love that guy. I just want to honor him. If you've not told him recently how much you love him and honor him, take the opportunity to do that today. But even he hasn't discipled you as well as Jesus can. It's true. We say, well, we're not like those first 12. We weren't with Jesus for 3 years. True, but we have the Holy Spirit within us, which they didn't until after Pentecost. You know, often we think and say, saying to those disciples when we get to heaven, hey, what was it like to be with Jesus for those 3 years while he was on earth? I think they're going to come to us in heaven and say, hey, what was it like to be filled with the Holy Spirit from the very day you believed? We have to realize how privileged we are to have this gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he wasn't one of those 12. And yet look at how God used that one man to change the world. Ah, you might say, but we're not the Apostle Paul. True, but you do have the exact same Holy Spirit within you as Paul did. And so to say I'm not Paul is absolutely no excuse. Ah, yes, Pastor, but life was very different 2,000 years ago. Yeah, true, but God doesn't change, and neither does human nature. And there are so many incredible examples for us in these days of people who are operating in the power of the supernatural, in the power of the Holy Spirit, who are living examples of Pentecost every day. Think of people like Heidi Baker, Todd White, Bill Johnson, John Arnott, just to name a few. Ah, yes, but Chris, you know, I'm not Heidi, Todd, John, or Bill. True, but you have exactly the same calling as they do. You and I are called by Jesus to proclaim the kingdom, to make disciples, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to raise the dead. And remember, Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Not you might, not some of you will, but you will receive power. You will be empowered when Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know, we don't have the privilege of picking and choosing which bits of the words of Jesus we want to believe. If we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if we've been filled with the power of God, we already have the power that we need to do everything that Jesus is calling us to do. The trouble is, we often don't realize the potential of that which is within us. Think about your computer or your smartphone. We probably only use 10%, maybe even less of that, than that of what it is capable of doing. I haven't got a clue how to use my computer other than to write a Word document, check the internet, and write emails. Apparently, it does all sorts of other things. It has the power. It has the ability within it. I just don't know how to do it. We need people to show us, to journey with us, to disciple us. And that's why God calls us to be church, to journey together, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to equip and enable one another, to use the gifts of the Spirit for the glory of God, to use the gifts of healing, to use the gifts of prophecy, to use the gifts of help. Whatever your gift of the Holy Spirit may be, your gift to preach, your gift of evangelism, whatever it might be, we need to be empowered by Holy Spirit, and we need to equip and engage one another in learning how to use those gifts that God has given us. So what's stopping us using the gifts that God has given us? What's stopping us using the power that has been put within us? Sometimes lack of knowledge. Well, the Word of God will tell you everything you need to know about the Holy Spirit and how he works in you and through you. And Jesus supremely lived his life to show us how to live a life empowered by Holy Spirit. Look at the life of Jesus. He was anointed by Holy Spirit at his baptism. He carried the anointing of God throughout his life, and it was the Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus to do all of the things that we read about in the Gospels. Look at Jesus. He is your example. Fear of it not working. I often have a fear that if I pray for somebody and they might not get healed, I might look like an idiot. Well, you know, I'm perfectly capable of making myself look like an idiot anyway. And it's just pride, and pride's a sin. I need to move beyond that and say, actually, it might just work. If I pray for someone, they might be healed, but I can say, sure as eggs are eggs, they're not going to get healed if we don't pray for them. We need to be taking the risk that we might get it wrong, we might not get it right, we might not see the glory that we want to see, but we might, and we won't know until we give it a go. And we've believed the lies of the enemy. This is the biggest one. We believe that we can't do it, or we're not called to do it. Jesus expressly said to you and to me, you are going to do the greater things. You will be empowered by Holy Spirit, and you are called to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and proclaim the good news of the kingdom. It is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to step out in faith like never before. I have had the privilege of seeing God working in and through me in amazing ways. I could tell you stories about the multiplication of bread when I was given 200 bread cakes and I had to feed hundreds more than that, several hundred children with these bread cakes. I didn't know what to do, but I simply followed the example of Jesus. I took the bread, I held it up, I gave thanks to God for his provision. And then we divided the bread cakes. We didn't break them in half. We gave out one each to the children. We fed over 1,000 children with 200 bread cakes. And I know that there were 200 because I bought them and counted them. And I know that there were over 1,000 people that were fed with them. That is the supernatural provision of God. I have seen a boy who was born blind. He was deaf and mute. His eyes were rolled back into his head, so all you could see was the whites of his eyes. And with my 15-year-old son in Mozambique, we prayed for that boy. And after about 10 minutes of praying over him in tongues, I was ready to give up. My son said, Dad, we haven't seen the miracle yet. We need to keep praying. rebuked by my 15-year-old son, we carried on praying, and after 40 minutes, this boy began to shake violently. His eyes popped back into place. That gave us faith to believe for more. We carried on praying, and within another 5 minutes, his sight was restored. He began to speak. He called out for his mother, and his mother came, and the first words he spoke, and a translator later told us what they were, was, "Mum, I need some food." And it was wonderful. Typical boy. The first thing he wanted was to think about his stomach. An incredible healing miracle. I've seen a woman that had been troubled in America with migraines for 12 years, and I had a prophetic word of knowledge about her in a Walmart supermarket, went up to her with boldness and fear combined at the same time and said, "Have you got a migraine that's been with you a long time? Can I pray for you?" She was instantly healed, and I heard through a friend who knew her later that she was still, months later, totally healed. We have someone in our previous church who was supernaturally healed of cancer. She was requiring an emergency operation the next day. But in worship, Holy Spirit came upon her and she was completely healed. The doctors the next day said, "We do not understand." She said, "Jesus has healed me." We know a woman in our church who was supernaturally healed through prayer from depression. God is at work in these days. We need to believe he not only is at work, but he wants to use you and me. And to be a disciple means to obey his commands, and his commands are to love God, love people, make disciples, heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead. And this Sunday, this day of Pentecost, is the day where I encourage you with all of the Church of Jesus Christ to say, "Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Empower us to do the greater things that Jesus has called us to do." And so let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're asking you now, as we come before you, for a new outpouring of Holy Spirit. Lord, we need another Pentecost. And we pray, Lord, right now, that you would breathe your Spirit upon us in the room where we are watching this service. Right now, Holy Spirit, would you come? And I pray for everybody who is watching this service that they would be empowered by Holy Spirit right now. Would you breathe your Spirit upon them, Lord, right now? Every woman, man, and child would be empowered right now. And I just speak over you a release of gifts of the Spirit, that you would receive new giftings, that some of you might begin to speak in tongues for the very first time. Some of you might be anointed with evangelistic gifts to be able to proclaim the good news of the kingdom right now. That others of you would be healed right now. My sense is that there's somebody who is watching this who has a tremendous pain in their left shoulder. I'm just getting a pain in my left shoulder right now. If that is you, I just say to that rotator cuff, to that shoulder joint, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to the pain and say, "Be gone in Jesus' name." Pain, be gone in Jesus' name. And others of you, I just pray over you right now that you receive a prophetic anointing, that you will receive an anointing from God that will enable you to see pictures, dream dreams, have visions. And as you receive them, share them with your church leaders, test them, and let God speak to others through you. And there's others, I believe, who are receiving a new calling from God, a fresh calling to serve him within the body of your church. So I just declare over you an anointing of Holy Spirit for the greater things, the empowering of Holy Spirit to know afresh how much the Father loves you, to be empowered to do the things that Jesus is calling you to do, so that he gets all of the glory and so that the world might believe that Jesus is Lord. In the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.